This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Salman Ali, at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. We're joined today by Forrest Walker, at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm pretty good, actually. I've had a pretty productive day so far. How about you?
I've had a long day. I'm a very busy day. I'm very tired. Recording this at midnight, March 24th, basically. And we are about... what is it, 36 hours away from the trade deadline? Something
It's like 38 hours.
38 hours.
36 hours, yeah.
Yeah, 38 hours away from the trade deadline. It is busy season here. The Rockets have already made a trade. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. And there's rumors that they have much more action to do here. We're going to be talking about all that and more. This is kind of my worst type of podcast because I don't have my notes in front of me. Forrest knows how much I rely on these notes, and I hate podcasting without these notes. So I'm going to be leaning on him quite a bit here today, but we're going to get through this. We're going to put up a quality episode. And as soon as we're done recording, it is going straight up on the internet. I'm going to do minimal editing. Just going to put in the ads because it is trade deadline season. And the lag time between recording and posting is just, you can't afford to have much of it because you can get outdated so quickly around these parts.
Yeah, and they will trade at 3 a.m. They'll do it.
Yes, without a doubt. Like, if you're on your morning commute right now, chances are Victor Oladipo's already on another team. Like, that's already done. He's already in uniform playing. He's got the physical done already. All that's done. He's on the other team. So let's try and salvage this while we can. Let's react to this trade. So the Rockets made a trade. They essentially traded PJ Tucker, Milwaukee's 2022 first round pick, and their owned 2021 second round pick in exchange for Milwaukee's 2021 and 2023 first rounders. Okay, that sounds better. It's a very complicated trade, very unique. I've never seen a trade like this, and I asked around. I couldn't find anyone who could remember a trade similar to this. They essentially exchanged a second round pick for a first round pick, and then on the other side of things, they traded Milwaukee their 2022 first round pick back in exchange for the 2023 first round pick. So they're betting that Milwaukee's 2023 first round pick will be more valuable than Milwaukee's 2022 first round pick, either by that draft being better or by Milwaukee being a worse team, or both. You know, both those things going to be happening. 2023 is the rumored double draft, that year where players can come straight from high school into the NBA, where that starts back up again. So you're going to see the two classes of talent come out that year, possibly. So that's the bet that Houston's making with this trade. They're also basically opting for this over a pair of second rounders. I bet you they had deals on the market for PJ Tucker in exchange for 2 second rounders, and they chose this instead. Now, I actually, the front end of things, the part where they traded their second round pick for Milwaukee's first round pick, I actually really like that part of the deal. I think that's a good deal of business. I think that's probably more valuable than a second round pick and less valuable than a first round pick. Even though you are getting a first round pick, because you're giving up a pick in exchange for that, I think moving up in the draft actually a little bit more valuable and a second round pick. And if Houston wants to, they can buy back into that second round if they, you know, with cash considerations, and they can get a second round pick again. And as far as that, the fact that they're trading, you know, the 2021 for the 2022 for the 2023, that's TBD. You know, we have no idea what Milwaukee's going to be in 2 years. We have no idea what the Milwaukee's going to be in 3 years. So it's really an up and down question for that. How did you feel about this trade?
I thought it's pretty good, honestly. It's about what you were going to get for him at this point. I think it's fun as well, but I'll get to that. In terms of quality, I think it's fair. He was not going to be playing well in Houston. His marginal value had completely tanked, obviously. I was honestly surprised that they didn't send him off earlier, given that the corroboration that PJ Tucker wanted to be on a better team was not only surprising or unsurprising, but only surprising that it came so late. So I think it's a pretty good trade overall. He hasn't been really producing very well in Milwaukee yet, has he?
No, he hasn't been playing much for Milwaukee. And you know, this was always the question. A lot of people had wondered whether or not PJ Tucker was washed or whether or not he was unmotivated. I thought it was probably a combination of the two, right? Like, I don't think he's completely washed. I think he has still some left in the tank, and probably worth the remainder of this contract, right? What is it? He has $8 million left for the season. He's probably going to be worth exactly that. And then next season, I'd be really hesitant to giving him a guaranteed deal longer than 1 year. And that's essentially what it came down to in terms of the extension. That's why Houston did not want to give him more than one guaranteed season. And PJ Tucker wanted more. And, you know, there was a disagreement about Tucker's value between his camp and the Rockets. And that's where the Rockets decided, screw it. We're just going to find you a new home. And they did. And, you know, the question, I guess you have to ask yourself when evaluating this trade is, would you have done this over 2 second rounders? I think this is slightly better than that. I don't blame anyone for saying this might be worse than that or a wash. I think it's in that general area, though.
I think it's about right. I definitely think this is a fair trade. Before we move on, I want to say that I hope that PJ Tucker has a great career. Remaining year in Milwaukee, I want to do very well and getting far into the playoffs. I also want the Bucks to transfer some pretty good picks to Houston. And on the note, I gotta say the thing I think is cool about this trade is that it's this real like NBA 2K style trade, as it were, where you're trying to kind of find like something in value between like a first and second round draft pick, as you mentioned earlier. I think it's interesting and creative, and because of that, I do think it's, if not better than 2 second round draft picks, which I think it probably is, like I think you're right that like swapping a second round pick for a first round pick is better than a second round pick, and so on. It's just cool that they did something weird like this. I mean, I think a part of, not the biggest part, but part of the fun of being a Rockets fan and paying attention to this team is that they do weird, interesting things like that. So it feels, I recognize the team more than I have in a while to see them doing weird pick shenanigans.
Right, the creativity is still there, right? And we saw some of this with the Christian Wood fiasco, I would say, because like the series of transactions it took to land Wood actually netted them first round picks, which was crazy, right? Like the fact that they ended that series of transactions with two first round picks and Christian Wood, well, you know, it gave you a lot of confidence in Houston's front office going forward. And this kind of stuff is in that, you know, in that territory where they're still thinking outside the box, they're still doing creative stuff. It is definitely reminiscent of like 2012-ish Rockets front office stuff, like when Morey was definitely churning the first rounders, finding value, trading, you know, 75 cents for a dollar here and there, that kind of stuff that they were doing back then. It's definitely reminiscent of that.
Yeah, I hope that the next trades they do also have interesting things going on, because I think there is a lot of room to find. Trades, as people said, are not about one person winning, one person losing. They're about both teams finding a way to win. And I think by being more creative with these draft picks and things like protections and stuff, you can actually find like more granular bits of value that can allow both teams to come away from something with a win, instead of it being like, oh, we had to give up a draft pick for someone who's probably not quite worth a draft pick. So I like it. I think it's a win for both teams, honestly, as long as PJ Tucker, you know, gets his groove back a little bit in Milwaukee. And I'm glad to see him be able to get out of a situation that he didn't want to and honestly didn't deserve to be in.
Yeah, and in real world terms, this is probably only going to be like four or five spots, right? Like, they're trading a pretty good first second rounder because they're so bad, right? Milwaukee's first rounder is going to be pretty bad because they're so good. At the same time, they're not top of the East good anymore, right? They are third in the Eastern Conference, and record-wise, they're like fifth in the league. So it's going to be like 25 in the draft, right? That's pretty good. Moving from like 31st to 25, that's six spots. Let's talk about Victor Oladipo, shall we? So you want to read the report from Adrian Wojnarowski?
Yes. So the report is that he is being shopped around heavily right now, and he is getting the most interest from the Heat and the Knicks in particular, which lines up with what Oladipo had previously expressed. And that the Rockets are, let's see, they're, since he's trying to become a free agent this summer, they're doing what they can get, and they want to get cap space and young players, obviously. Not cap space, they want to get draft picks. More draft picks. if there's one thing the Rockets want, it's draft picks.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Miami and New York are actually hesitant to trade for, give up much for Oladipo because they have cap space this summer. Yeah. So they're betting that we can just get him in free agency for nothing, right? And so what you're looking at here is that teams that are capped out and vying for good playoff positioning are the kinds of teams that are interested in Victor Oladipo. And, you know, I came up with a list here of teams that I think, you know, match this profile, right? Like, I think these kinds of teams seem like natural landing spots from that description that Woj gave out. Atlanta, Dallas, Denver, Golden State, and the Lakers. And let me go through all these. So Atlanta makes a lot of sense because obviously that's his former coach, right? Nate McMillan. They have a clear need there. They want, you know, they're fifth in the East right now. They want to make a run. They want to capitalize on what they're getting from Trae Young. Dallas, obviously, they are not liking what they're getting at the shooting guard position. And, you know, trading Seth Curry has ended up becoming a disaster for them. So I think that seems like a natural spot. The problem with Dallas is obviously the first round pick, right? They owe a first round pick to New York. So they don't want to be caught in a similar position where they're having to depend on being really, really good to outset what could be a pretty bad trade in trading for Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think that – I think they're still going to end up on the net positive with the Porzingis trade, but there has been a lot of discussion about that. Upgrading on Josh Richardson there at the two-guard spot seems natural. Golden State. So Golden State is interesting because obviously they're in a weird spot in their franchise's, you know, life cycle, right? They're trying to capitalize on Steph Curry's prime years, right? His last prime years. He's 33 years old. They're trying to squeeze as much as they possibly can out of them. They're not afraid to pay into luxury tax, right? They are paying through the nose in luxury tax right now. They do need to upgrade at that shooting guard position while Clay is out. And I think even when Clay returns next season, having Victor Oladipo play the three is not a bad idea, or even having Clay play the three, because he's probably not going to be as mobile defensively as he once was. So that seems like a logical fit. I think this right here, it might be my favorite fit, though. Denver. So Denver has a huge, huge need at the shooting guard position because they are getting almost nothing out of Gary Harris at this moment, right? Gary Harris had a really great season 2 years ago, and ever since then, he's not been able to bounce back. And they've been shopping his contract around to anybody that will take him, essentially, right? And I think, you know, they need some more juice here for this final stretch. It's hard to like them in a matchup against the Lakers or the Clippers, even though those two teams aren't exactly in tip-top shape right now. Lakers obviously dealing with the injuries. Clippers just not being as good as they should be. So I think having Oladipo for that kind of a matchup seems like a pretty good idea to just add some more juice there. Like, have some more offensive firepower there next to Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and just upgrade over Gary Harris. For God's sake, they need to upgrade over Gary Harris. He has not looked like the Gary Harris of old, so that seems like a natural spot. I put the Lakers in there just because I think they're always going to be, you know, kind of smelling around at these kind of trades. I'm not sure what they have to offer, but again, I'm not sure what Victor Oladipo's market is right now.
That's the real question, right? What can he even expect to get for him?
I think best case scenario, they can nab a first round pick, right? That's what they want. I think they're having trouble getting that first round pick. And I think they're putting out that they want a first round pick at a young player, but I think they'll settle for a first round pick and expiring contract, or a young player and like a multiple second round picks. That's my guess right now, because Oladipo has not played like the kind of player that would demand a first round pick, especially because he's not under contract for next season. You are trading for his bird rights. How much teams value his bird rights is a real question. So what you're really trading for is for his value in the stretch run in the playoffs, and the right to re-sign him this summer. And I'm not sure, you know, if either of those are really that attractive right now. He's played pretty good over the past five games, right? The past five games he was healthy. But again, he has to sit out back-to-backs. When he's healthy, his efficiency's dropped off, especially finishing at the rim. He has athletic bursts. He tries these creative finishes, right? Like he'll do weird like reverse layups and stuff like that. He's just not making them. He can't finish through contact. The 3-point percentages are a disaster. So, you know, I think Houston is trying to get what they can get for him right now, which is surprising. I thought Houston would be, you know, willing to let his contract expire. And that's something I talked about with Jonathan Fagan in my last podcast, was like, I thought they were seriously considering the idea of just letting his contract expire and taking the space. It seems like they just want to get something for him while they can.
I mean, fair enough at this point. I think the math has kind of changed on this team over the last, let's say, exactly 21 games. So if he's going to go anyway, right, like, is the cap space useful for them this offseason is the question. And if they get an expiring contract for him, then that's going off the books either way. So they might as well just get something in the interim. And also importantly, you know, he didn't want to be there. Send him somewhere he would like to be, which is, I think, valuable as well, to show that you know, when suddenly players find themselves in a tanking team, they should be given the option to head on out of there if it's what's right for them in their career. But I think that does make it more complicated, right? Like, the places he wants to go is a list that is one item long. It's the Miami Heat. And, you know, I guess they have reason to go to try to grab his bird rights, like you said. But how much are those bird rights really worth to the Miami Heat? That is the big question.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here's what's complicated for the Miami Heat. Like, if you're not going to use that space on Victor Oladipo this summer, who are you going to use it on? Because my best guess is all these teams, not my best guess, like, I know all these teams were saving their cap space for Giannis, right? And when the minute Giannis signed that extension, the minute Paul George signed that extension, these teams were flat out of luck. And Oladipo right now is one of the more attractive free agents on the market. That doesn't speak very well for this market, but like that, it is what it is, because all these guys signed extensions and the market's just dried up. So these teams are going to have to spend the space on somebody. Could it be Victor Oladipo or could it be somebody else? I don't know, but it seems like the Heat and the Knicks are reluctant to give up premium assets, and I don't blame them. They shouldn't. They should not be giving up anything of serious consideration for Oladipo, at least the Oladipo that we see right now.
But by that same token, should anybody else also? And this is kind of the problem, right? Like, the teams you've laid out, there's good cases for those teams, but if we're being honest, like, the net rating of the Hawks and the Mavericks and the Warriors, it's all like below two. They're not great teams. They're okay teams, but they're not going to make a push for like a deep playoff run with Victor Oladipo. And maybe they just want to have him in there to try to make their, you know, make the playoffs more consistently or like have a better shot, but it's not make or break for them. And if he's going to leave anyway in the offseason, you know, how valuable is that to them is the question.
Well, that's why I really like the Nuggets here, right? Because that's a team that actually has the chance of making a deep playoff run, right? Now, I wouldn't bet on them making a deep playoff run just because I have serious, you know, doubts about their roster consideration. But shaking up the roster, you know, with a move like this might be what gets you over the hump in a playoff series against, you know, maybe not the Lakers, but against the Clippers maybe, right? I mean, like, they beat the Clippers. Right, like, and I know, you know, a lot of people have feelings about that playoff run because it was in the bubble and because it was the Clippers, right? But like, I have confidence that they could compete in a series against the Lakers again. They have the same net rating right now. Like, they're both at plus 5.3. So, you know, that's a team that makes logical sense to me. Now, I'm not sure what they'd be willing to give up, but I'm guessing it's going to be an amalgamation of Gary Harris and some kind of draft consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good pull, because what you're looking for is a place where he will probably be able to start for the team, right? Like, I think there's a good case to be made that Oladipo is probably more useful as like a six-man type player at this point in his career, and where he's at the moment. I think he could actually be pretty valuable there, but he's not going to want that, and it's not the kind of thing you're going to get a big trade haul for. So I think a place where he is going to start and he is going to make the playoffs does have more of a motivation to throw something valuable out there for him.
Yeah, the point about him accepting a six-man consideration is going to be, you know, it's pretty smart for you to pointing that out, because he's taking like 20 shots a game for Houston. Like, it is insane. Like, he is literally, I mean, if you've watched Victor Oladipo, he's tanking possessions, right? Like, he will break up whatever the hell the Rockets are doing on offense to chuck up a shot. Right. And if you're a Rockets fan rooting for the tank, you know, like, this is great. Like, keep Victor Oladipo. Hell, why trade him? Like, this does wonders for that draft pick. But if you're Steven Silas and you're looking at him just taking these shots, breaking up what you're trying to do on offense, trying to build a culture, right? Like, I think yeah. Silas is still trying to win games. Like that guy and the Rockets more generally, like, I think they're losing games not because they want to, but because they're not good.
Like, that's so important. I'm really glad you said that. This is not like a team engineered to be terrible. This is a team that turned out to be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. I think it is a sign that the James Harden trade, or at least part of it, didn't go the way they wanted, in that Oladipo, or, you know, like, if they let the contract expire, hell, maybe they wanted the space. I don't know. But my guess is that they expected more from Oladipo when they made that trade. And it's not worked out for them.
Yeah, I think if you're Silas and you're the Rockets, your consideration about culture is a huge deal, right? If I were them right now, I'd be very concerned with trying to make this go from a team that is shooting itself in the foot to lose games and instead be a team that is losing games even though they are building something, right? That's what you want. You want younger players who are developing and some veterans who are willing to take on a role to help a developing team find themselves. And you want to be losing games because the players are trying to work together as a team, but they're still figuring themselves and the team out, and not because they're breaking possessions. That's what you want. So, you know, the guys like PJ Tucker and Victor Oladipo are prime candidates to get moved out, because that's not helping build for the future, and it's not helping build their team culture in a way that's going to work. Like, they need a bunch of guys who are young and excited to win every single game they can manage to win, but still lose enough games to get a good draft pick.
And shipping guys like that, like Oladipo and Tucker out, like, yeah, it may actively help you lose games, but it opens up increased roles for guys like Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, who is now a starter and has been a starter for a while now with the Rockets because he's just taken PJ Tucker's spot, right? Like, and my guess is that if Oladipo gets traded, like, you know, someone like Sterling Brown or Kevin Porter Jr. gets that spot. And, you know, guys like that are 25 and younger, more likely to be a part of Houston's core than someone like Oladipo. So, yeah, I think this works both ways. What the return Houston gets back is still up in the air. If you were to ask me right now, like just gun to my head, what do I think Houston gets for Tucker, for Oladipo? I think they get a pretty bad first round pick that's protected, obviously lottery protected, and expirings. Like I think that's probably what I think they get. What I think they want, I mean, I think they're posturing right now, right? Like they're not going to get both young players and a first round pick, right? It's the same thing with the James Harden trade. They're asking for a king's ransom of picks and a premium blue collar kind of player. They got a ransom of picks. They didn't get that blue chip player, right? Like, so I think they're probably getting one or the other. And my guess is that they get the pick, or who knows, maybe they make a trade with the team like Dallas. Maybe they get a player like Josh Green, who was a first round pick last year. Right. And you can just, that's a good way to sell to your fan base. Hey, look, we got a first round pick out of this, even though technically it's not a first round pick. It is, you know, it's a player that was drafted in the first round, literally last season. So maybe that's the way you sell this. But I don't think they're gonna, if they're expecting to get like a premium asset, like if you're trading with a team like the Hawks, like I don't think you're gonna get a player like Cam Reddish, right? Like, for example, I don't think you're gonna get an asset like that. But maybe you get someone like a Kongwu, right? Like, I think that's the kind of trade you're looking for if you're Houston. You're not gonna get a premium young player. You're gonna get, you know, a second tier young player, which is pretty much what you're gonna get in a late first round pick, anyways. So either way, they're getting late first round pick value. It really depends on what kind of form they get it in, though.
Yeah, I think it's about right. And it's fine for them. Whether they get some more draft picks that will, even if they're not particularly good draft picks, anything helps load up the coffers.
Hold on. So slow down there. Picks or pick?
Well, I mean, like a pick or maybe like a bad couple of seconds or something.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to stop you there, because if you were insinuating that they were getting more than one first round pick.
That was the pick open parenthesis S close
okay.
parenthesis.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. Okay. Yeah. That's what I think they'll get. That's what I think they'll get for Oladipo. And, you know, before I would have said it was a coin toss whether or not they were trading Oladipo. I'd say it's probably like 70-30 now. I think they're probably going to trade Oladipo. And
they might as well.
Yeah. We'll see. It could be the trade again. We were joking earlier, but that trade might be done by the time we're done with this podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, it's been a weird trade season too, because these trades seem to be more likely to happen at random times. I mean,
they're
maybe we'll get a huge flurry.
Right?
No,
they're not coming in as a flurry. They're dripping in like a faucet, and we could get a late, you know, trade deadline flurry. Happened a few years ago within that Goran Dragic trade deadline, right? Like where Woj tweeted halfway through that he was like, oh my goodness, like it was like a string of trades that happened out the buzzer. We could get something like that, you know, who knows? But I don't think we're gonna get a huge name to be traded. Maybe someone like Aaron Gordon, you know, Oladipo might be the biggest name that gets moved. But as far as, you know, a huge name getting traded, I, you know, James Harden was that name this season, and that trade's done.
Yeah, this season's weird too, because there's so many teams that think they're better than they are or think they should be better than they are. And I think there's not really a ton of teams who are just trying to like hold a fire sale. Rockets are actually one of the few teams that know they suck, I feel like. I mean, we have like the Trailblazers think they're good. They're 21st in net rating. You know, like the Heat are 20th. There are so many teams that like are underperforming compared to where they think they should be, that it's going to be hard to see a lot of people like being willing to part with really big game changer assets, in my opinion.
Right. I want to bring up a subject that I'm writing about this in my newsletter, and I feel like I might as well talk about it here. So last week I tweeted a hypothetical trade involving Christian Wood. And I was with somebody when I tweeted this, and it was this person's idea. And what the idea behind this tweet was to just to see how far in the tank Rockets fans are for Christian Wood, right? Because I just wanted to test how far. And I knew it would get like it would be like 70% no and like 30% yes, right? It ended up being like 87% no and 13% yes. And what really surprised me is not the vote, but the volume of tweets I got that weren't even willing to hear this idea of trading Christian Wood. And I bring this up to say this. Rockets fans, this rebuild is going to be hard and it's going to be long. If you're finding yourself getting attached to players on this roster right now, where it's very clear that they don't have a player that could be the best player on a championship team, you are going to get gut punched at some point during this rebuild. At some point during this rebuild, there's going to be a trade that knocks you off guard, that you aren't surprised, that you weren't expecting, excuse me. And it's going to be a name that, you know, shocks you. It could be Christian Wood, could be Jayshon Tate, it could be anybody. But if you're finding yourself getting attached to players on this roster, I have a huge, I just want to warn you against that, okay? Like, because this is, when they made the James Harden trade, they could have done two things. They could have traded for a blue chip prospect and fast tracked their rebuild, right? Like if they traded for Ben Simmons, they'd be in more of a win now kind of phase. Or they could have did this trade, right? Where they traded for the Kings ransom of picks. By trading for the Kings ransom of picks, that's signaling that this rebuild is going to be longer than you expect. And especially, I mean, they just lost 20 basketball games in a row. Like, if you're expecting like a magic bullet solution, like even if they get the first round, the first pick in this draft, like it's unlikely that they're in the playoff picture for 4 or 5 years. Christian Wood is 25 right now. And I feel pretty safe saying that he's not going to be the best player on a championship team. So if you're fine, again, my number one tip for fans that are invested in this team, and you're watching this rebuild play out, if you're finding yourself getting attached to individual players right now, don't. You have to look at the bigger picture, right? Like, otherwise, you're going to be one of these Rockets fans that got shocked in 2011 when Kyle Lowry got traded, right? Or one of these Sixers fans that got shocked when Jrue Holiday got traded. Like, yes, these players are really good. They're really solid pieces that you could have as the second, third, fourth best players on a championship team. They're not the best player on a championship team. And if your team does not have that, like, you should be prepared for the roster to get traded down to the studs.
Yeah, I'm of two minds with this. You're right. Obviously, these guys are going to get traded because the plan is not for anybody who's on the team right now to be that. Well, I mean, that'd be great if that happens. I'm sure they'd be overjoyed if that occurs, but they know it's not going to. Yeah. Right. Like, management knows that this is an intermediary stage and it will be that for a while. I do think it sort of sucks for the fan experience that so much of running a basketball team is like financialized in this fashion, that like rosters are this kind of pile of assets, but that's a whole different conversation. The conversation here is just that, yeah, what I recommend to people is that you should be rooting for these individual players. You should be rooting for them to do well, and them doing well can mean them going to a different team and having a different and better opportunity there. Like, there's going to come a time where the best, even if we're just concerned with doing right by Christian Wood, right? Like, from the perspective of doing right by him, you probably don't want to trade him right now unless you're blown away by something, right? Because he seems to want to be here. But even from the standpoint of doing right by him, there's going to come a time where there's a better situation somewhere else for him. And like, rooting for him to go to that situation is honestly the better course, in my opinion. All these players are going to at some point find themselves somewhere else, and it's going to be better for them. And we should be okay with that. And we should be rooting for them to have the best situation they can have, because this is just a train station. You know, this is not the end. This is not the start of the journey. This is a train station in the middle. And people are going to get on and off that train. So just worry about where the train's going and worry about like that the individual players are having a good time.
Daryl Morey was on the radio in 2010 telling Rockets fans to not buy jerseys with names on the back. He was telling them, if you're going to buy a Rockets jersey, put your own name on the back. Don't put a player's name on the back. For God's sake, don't buy any of those players, right? Because
get you an Elijah Wan jersey.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm trying to say here. If you find yourself getting attached to these players, I have news for you. Like, they're not going to be here for the long haul.
Yeah, I think it's fine to get attached to them. Just get attached to them as a player and not as a Houston Rocket. You know, it'd be like, hey, it's okay if Jae'Sean Tate or Christian Wood or et cetera goes to like the Knicks or something, and you can still root for them to have a great career somewhere else.
And listen, I tweeted that just spitballing. And if you disagreed with me about the value, that's fine. We can have a conversation. There were some people that were like, oh, that's not enough for Christian Wood. That's fine. I'm perfectly okay with being you disagreeing with me about his value or disagreeing with like the value of a player. But this idea that someone on the roster right now is untouchable is just unfounded. It's just completely unfounded.
I mean, he's probably not going to be touched because it's unlikely that at current there is a deal good enough for him out there.
Right now, yes. Yes, yeah. Right now. right now. And again, like I was not, when I tweeted that, I was not expecting him to get traded at the deadline for even the deal that I suggested. I was just doing that just to gauge his value among Rockets fans, just to see how far in the tank they were for this guy. And it was pretty far in the tank. But yeah,
I mean, that's the plan, though, right? The plan is to develop a bunch of good players so that you can package them together with picks if there's an opportunity to do so, right? Like, the plan is to grow their value as players, and their value as players to the Rockets is not really if they can win or lose games in Houston, but rather if someone else thinks they can win or lose games there.
Yeah, like, for example, like, if a trade for Christian Wood gets you closer to acquiring a player like Kawhi Leonard, the Rockets are going to do that trade, right? Whether it's a trading him in a Kawhi Leonard deal or trading him to acquire assets to then convert into a Kawhi Leonard deal, they're going to do that deal, no questions asked. And, you know, if you're just surprised by the idea that this player would even be on the market, like, I you have to adjust your thinking here. Like, and I think there are some, you know, people that just believe, okay, so this guy is going to be our center of the future. This guy is going to be our power forward of the future. This guy is going to be our point guard. Like, no.
That's just how it's been for like 9 years. You know, it's hard to get out of that mode.
Right.
That it has been trying to find these players who are going to hang out for a long time and like mesh into a core.
Sure. Yeah. And here's my thinking. Here's my thing. I mean, like, you cannot think that way anymore. Like these guys are all fungible pieces that can be moved at any point, right? And probably will be moved at some point. Like, my best guess is two or three years from now, there will be two, maybe three players remaining from this roster, which means they're going to make a bunch of trades over the next few years. And I just don't want you guys to get thrown off guard if a trade happens, because at this moment, I feel like you guys are going to get knocked on your just by the way you're reacting to stuff that I'm just throwing out there.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sticking with, you know what, good for him. That's where I'm going to be kind of no matter what happens.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, listen, like, I'm probably not going to be the most liked, Rockets reporter. I don't care. It's never my objective. I wasn't the most liked when I was, when I was just writing that the Rockets should not in any way trade for Carmelo Anthony, and Rockets fans were all in the tank for trading for Carmelo Anthony, right? Like, I was not popular then, and I probably won't be popular for this take, right? That's not my intention. My intention is to inform you and to tell you where things are probably going to go, the direction that things are probably going to go.
Well, I mean, look, I am no stranger to that, to telling people this is going to suck, and they're like, nah, it'll be cool. Look, tanking sucks. It's going to suck for the fans. It's going to suck for the team. There's a reason, like, that teams don't like to have to do it. It's no fun. It's not going to be fun for a while. And the only fun part about it is getting to root for a variety of fun, exciting young players. So I think everybody should, if you're going to relish anything, relish the idea that you're going to have new players to fall in love with.
Right. And that's not saying you can't root for the Rockets every night, right? Like, that's fine. Go root for the Rockets, obviously, right? They're your hometown team. Go root for them. Like, enjoy them.
Yes, they're just going to lose.
Right. Like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of losing, and you probably shouldn't be upset when they don't make the playoffs or when they don't, you know, get to 500, you know, like stuff like that is, you just got temporary expectations and, see the bigger picture, forest through the trees.
Indeed. The bigger picture is, building a good culture long-term. That's my stance, and it has been for a while and it will be for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just, like Houston has to get a superstar player again, right? Like before all of this starts to make sense. Like that centerpiece, that core has to be there, and it's not there right now. And if when it's not there, it's very long, and it's very stressful if you're a fan of the team, but this is just how it goes.
I kind of feel like they're at a step even before that, which is like, this is a franchise which needs to get
this is a franchise.
Yeah, it needs to get it all together, put it in its backpack, and figure out what they're doing right now. Like they've just totally been atomized, and like it's not, they're not even at the point where it's time to like look for how to get the next superstar yet. They have to figure out how to be the Rockets again. I feel like they need to be a team. They need to figure out where they're at, because this thing fell apart over the course of this season. They were like kind of okay at like after James Harden left, and then Christian Wood went down and everything spiraled and it got worse and worse, and it's bad right now. Like there's no question about that. It's bad. And it's not just that they're losing games, but like the team seems like disintegrated and disillusioned at the same time. So they have a lot of homework before they even get to the part where they have homework, if that makes any sense.
Which is probably why I should probably cool it with the Rockets fans lecturing, because they're reeling in the same way that the team is reeling, right? They're trying to catch their bearings in the same way. They're trying to figure out what this new universe of rebuilding is, right? Because they haven't seen rebuilding, some of them ever, right? Some of them, like literally, if you check the demographics for this podcast, I say it every few weeks, there are 18-year-old Rockets fans. They don't know what rebuilding is, right? They don't know a time without James Harden. They don't know what rebuilding entails, right? And it's going to be a shock for them. And a lot of them were probably confused when, like, Daryl Morey left, right? Like, they're like, oh, should I go root for the Sixers now? Like, you know, like, or when James Harden got traded, oh, should I go root for the Nets now? Because I don't want to root for this. I don't. This is completely foreign from what I've been rooting for. Right? Like so, some of them probably had those thoughts, because it's just so confusing when you're rebuilding, and when you get adjusted to a certain level of play, and having to get, you know, it's just whiplash, right? It's just you're getting whiplashed into an entirely different dimension of team building.
It's true. This is a really astonishing progression. I said it before, like the Rockets in the 2018 playoffs were a hair's breadth away from making and probably winning the NBA finals. In May of 2018, between then we have the 18-19 season and the 19-20 season. There are two full seasons between then. Two. And now they're like the worst team in the league. They're like in the bottom three for just truly awful.
Right now they're a hair's breadth away from Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Like they were looking, we forget this in the 2019 playoffs, but like they didn't just get stomped by the Warriors. They did all right. All right. let's not forget all that. They were a really good team one regular season ago. It's unbelievable that we face this kind of whiplash. It's very rare that a team goes from like title contention to just complete bottom of the barrel so quickly. And weirdly, that's kind of a Rockets Z thing to me, that like if they're going to do something, they're going to do as hard as anybody possibly can.
Right. They do not like care about aesthetics. Now, as we talked about earlier, I don't think they're doing this on purpose.
Right? No, at least they weren't for the first half of the season.
Right. But again, they are a franchise that has openly not cared about aesthetics, and that's, you know, illustrated by the people that they brought in: Daryl Morey, James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, Chris Paul. All these players don't care how it looks; they care about how effective it is. And if they still have that culture somewhere within that front office, it might still be the same. We don't know. We don't know what the culture of this front office is. I'm still trying to evaluate how they move. You know, we're talking about how, you know, what they did with the PJ Tucker stuff was creative. We're still trying to figure out what they are, right? How competent they are, how far away are they from Daryl Morey's Rockets? And
I'll say this, yeah. I think they're going to be ruthless either way.
Yeah, maybe. It's going to be interesting just to see something new, completely new. Again, different front office, different head coach, different roster. Not even different star player, different roster, right? So it is. It's going to be a different experience covering this. And I'm reeling, right? Like I'm finding myself figuring out, okay, so how do I cover this team? Like, do I live tweet games anymore? Like, am I supposed to live tweet games? Let me ask you this for us. Like, how many Rockets fans would actually be interested in that? If I'm live tweeting games, like before I was like tweeting, oh my God, like James Harden just crossed over Wesley Matthews and the Rockets are up by 20, right? And I'll tweet a video of that, get a billion retweets, whatever, right? I'm not sure if I should tweet anything. Like what should I, they're down by 20 right now. Like
I have an actual answer for you. For me, like me personally, I would like you to live tweet games so I can know when to look at the game.
maybe that's just it. Like maybe I should, whenever there's something notable going on, I should just weigh in. And like again, literally 2 weeks ago, I was watching Rockets games basically on tape delay because I was so busy I couldn't watch them live. And I don't think anyone noticed until I said it. Like until I said that I wasn't watching the games live. I was watching them after the fact. And I don't think anyone, literally no one noticed because no one was watching the games.
Well, I mean, like, look, who's going to be like wanting a analysis of how the game went? Like, who needs gamers on these games? That's not the point at all right now. Oh, they lost. Why did they lose? Because rebounding. OK, great. Moving on.
Yeah, it is a entirely different universe. I guess we should end on that note. I don't know where to end this. I don't know. but I think we did pretty good here. No notes. You know, we were kind of going by the fleet of our pants, right? Like I think we did all right for 45 minutes and hopefully nothing happens. Hopefully no trade happens. Like, I feel like I jinxed it. I feel like there's a Woj bomb coming down right now, but,
I don't have any alerts right now. So we're good as of this second.
Oh, there it is. Oh, Depot just got dumped. No, kidding. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to upload this as soon as possible. Hopefully it doesn't get outdated. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher if you enjoyed it. Give us 5 stars on iTunes if you enjoyed the show. It really helps other people find our podcast. Follow me on Twitter at SoamaliNBA. Follow Forrest on Twitter at DUNOTS. And yeah, guys, good night.